The title of today's message is this: What on Earth is Happening? That's not Luca, by the way. That's just a kid off the internet. But what on earth is happening? Do you ever watch the news? Maybe you don't watch the news. And I don't particularly like to watch news on TV anymore. I'm actually over it. I refuse to watch shows like A Current Affair, Project. We stopped watching them a long time ago. But I do follow news threads. And, you know, sometimes I'm looking at decisions that governments have made, and a thought goes through my mind. What on earth is happening? You read about the trouble around the world, and you think, what on earth is happening? You read about the protests in Hong Kong, and you think, what on earth is happening? You read about Turkey invading Syria, and you think, what on earth is happening? Then you read about these new weapons that they've recently invented, and you think, what on earth is happening? And then you walk through the shops, and you hear the way, and you look at the way people behave, and the way, in fact, some of the clothes that people wear. You know, I get highly offended by T-shirts that have skimpy ladies on the front. Amen. Has anybody noticed young men wearing those kind of shirts, or where they got swearing on the front? And every time I see something like that, I think, what on earth is happening? I came here to church yesterday just to prepare for today, and the police were all over there at the train station. There was yelling and swearing, and people wanted to fight each other. And once again, I thought, what on earth is happening? I think the world's gone a little bit mad. That. Other than you and me, I think all of them have gone mad. Amen. Who's with me that when you read the news or hear the news, you think, this world is just getting ridiculously crazy. Am I the only one? It's crazy. Seems like the whole world has gone mad. And so today what I thought we'd do is, in between the Red Letter Challenge we've done, and we've got Jeremy Griffiths coming next week, it's going to be fantastic. I sort of deal with this week some important questions about life that many people wrestle with, and maybe you do too. Questions like, why is the world so crazy? Another question, if God is love, then why is there so much pain and suffering in the world today? Here's another one. Why is my life so hard even when I'm a Christian? Here's another one. Why is life so unfair? Here's another one. Why do bad things happen to good people? They're great questions, and they're good questions to ask and explore. So what we're going to do, and I want everybody, you've got to stay with me today. Who promises to stay with me? You know, yeah, stay with me. So what we're going to do to explore these questions, what we're going to do, we're going to look at the Bible. There's a radical concept. Amen. And we're going to use a collage of scriptures. And so we're going to explore. I need my water. And I need a drink right now, actually. Actually, I could do with a flat white right now. But anyway, we'll wait till that's good. So what on earth is happening? So let's look at some scriptures, and I'm going to build an explanation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Don't forget, we're headed towards prayer, by the way. That's where we're headed. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So God created human beings in his own image, his likeness, male and female, that's Adam and Eve. He created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Another word for govern it there in the Hebrew is subdue it. Be in charge. Exercise authority. Fill the earth and govern it. Then God said about Adam and Eve, they will reign. Then God looked over all he had made and he saw that it was very good, absolutely. Point number one, the world that God originally created was a paradise, where God gave to Adam and Eve the authority to rule and reign over the earth. That's very important to remember that. Originally, and this is inconceivable to us today, originally there was no pain and suffering. Originally, in the Garden of Eden, life was not crazy. There was peace and harmony. And Adam and Eve didn't need to go to a marriage boost. There was peace and harmony. Now what we're going to do right now, so remembering those scriptures, we're now that was the book of Genesis. We're now going to jump to the last book in the Bible, which is called Book of Revelation. Not Revelations, Revelation. And the book of Revelation is a wonderful book. and it uses symbols, and that's what confuses people when they read it, and pictures to describe spiritual events, past, present, and future. Here we go. Then I witnessed in heaven another significant event. John, the Apostle John, was writing this. He said, I saw a large red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns. That sounds like something out of The Lord of the Rings, doesn't it? With 7 crowns on his heads, his tail swept away 1/3 of the sky, stars in the sky, that's important, and he threw them to the earth. Then there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and the dragon lost the battle, and he and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, now it gets interesting here, this is who they're talking about, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all of his angels. Yes, Jesus told them, Jesus saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer. That's another name for the devil. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. You've been thrown down to the earth, for you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars or above the angels. Satan said, I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High. And God's response is, instead, you will be brought down. Point number two. In some time past, probably at the same time as God was creating the earth, this powerful, beautiful, angelic creature named Lucifer rebelled against God, and he even tried to overthrow God. And this creature, ladies and gentlemen, was so powerful and so convincing that 1/3 of the angels believed him and they joined him in his rebellion. Everybody still with me? Yeah. Consequently, war broke out in the heavenlies, in the spirit realm. Interestingly, when we read the scriptures, that war broke out, but God did not lift a finger in this cosmic battle at all, because he didn't need to lift a finger. He left the eviction of Lucifer from heaven to another mighty, formidable angel named Michael, and to the other angels. And so Lucifer and his cohort were thrown out of heaven, and they were thrown down to the earth. And it's these fallen angels who became the demons and unclean spirits that we battle with today. That's where they came from. Please note that the heaven that Lucifer was thrown out of is not the same heaven that you will enjoy for eternity. The slate has been wiped clean, because Jesus later promised us, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus has promised us a new heaven and a new earth. We're not going to a tainted heaven. Jesus has something new for us. And so Lucifer, who is called Satan, will never see or enjoy any of the rewards of God. He has been banished forever. Amen. So Satan's evicted from his place in heaven, thrown down to the earth. What happened next? Where did he pop up? Where did he show up? Next scriptures, back to the book of Genesis. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say, you must not eat the fruit of any of the trees in the garden? Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God had said to us, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent hissed to the woman Eve. The woman was convinced. So she took some of the fruit and ate it, and then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. And then the Lord God called to them, "Where are you?" So the Lord was sorry he'd ever made them and put them on the earth, and his heart was broken. It broke his heart. Point number three. Satan possessed a serpent. Remember how the evil spirits went to the pigs in that story of Legion? We know spirits can possess animals and people. Satan possessed a serpent and proceeded through the serpent to deceive Adam and Eve and undermine their faith in God's word to them. He did this after being evicted from heaven. And while Satan did this, God did not make any effort at all to stop him. Raises a question. Why didn't God interrupt and stop Satan from lying to Adam and Eve? Why didn't he? The reason is because God had made Adam and Eve in his likeness, and he had given to them all the authority they needed to govern and reign over the earth. They were in charge. They had delegated divine authority over the entire world, and God had given them the gift of free will to decide their own destiny. All Adam and Eve needed to do was command Satan to leave, and he would then have been cast out of the earth just like he'd been cast out of heaven. It was Adam and Eve's job to govern the earth. God was just waiting. He was just waiting to see what they would do. He was just waiting for them to take their stand and use their authority. He was just waiting for them. And if they had done that, Adam and Eve had done that, the world would be a different place today. Then Satan would have been and should have been defeated there and then. The first Adam failed. Adam and Eve, our ancestors, instead allowed themselves to be tricked, to be deceived into joining Satan's rebellion against God. And they dragged the rest of us, the whole human race, along with them too. And the outcome has been catastrophic in the extreme. What do the scriptures say? Satan, who is the God of this world? Hey, he's in charge. Satan, who is the God of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. And we know that we are children of God, and the world around us is under the control of the evil. Absolutely. This is what the Bible teaches. Then the devil took Jesus up, and this is a temptation of Christ, and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said this, "I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them," the devil said, "because they are mine to give to anyone I please." And he said, "I will give it all to you if you will worship me." And Jesus never disputed who owned the kingdoms of the world. Instead, Jesus replied, "The scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Point number four. Satan has become the God of this world. Why is the world so crazy? Why is life just so unfair? Why is there so much pain and suffering? Why is there so much heartache? Why is just about every day you get up, it's a grind? Who knows what I'm talking about? Yeah, it is. Even to get here this morning, it could be pretty hard, right? You know, why do we have so much sickness? Why do we have pain in our bodies? Why do we get old? Why do we have funerals? Having a funeral is never in God's plan or purpose. Why do we have funerals? It's because the world is currently under the control of a powerful, evil spirit being who is in rebellion against Almighty God, and the whole world is enveloped in a spiritual atmosphere that is opposed to God. And most people don't even feel it because they're so used to living in that rebellious atmosphere. It's only when you see Jesus you get to see how things really are. And the devil got control of the world from Adam and Eve when he tricked them and deceived them. And so everything in the world's gone haywire. From sin invading our hearts to separate us from God, that's the worst thing. Through to genetic deterioration. And even your old age, some of you know about your telomeres on the ends of your chromosomes, they start to deteriorate. Through to ecological disasters. Everything's been tainted by darkness. And the Bible even says that the whole of creation groans. In fact, the ripple effect of rebellion against God has gone even beyond the earth to the whole of the universe. The whole of creation is just groaning. And the world, ladies and gentlemen, is not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better. The world cannot be improved. You can get rid of all the carbon you want in the atmosphere. It's not going to get any better because you don't have a climate change problem. We have a sin problem. The world can't get better when the devil is in control. It's delusional to think otherwise. And people love darkness more than they love light. So the devil is the enemy of God. He's the enemy of everything that's good and wholesome. And the devil, ladies and gentlemen, he's against you. He's your enemy as well. And the devil is an evil taskmaster. And that's why life is so really very hard for the human race. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's not blame God for the struggles of life. Praise God. Hallelujah. The sermon's going to get better. It's going to get better. We're going to finish on a high. But we got to thank God, don't we? Thank God that we know the Lord. I just love that communion today. When you talk about why did I get saved? You know, what a mystery. Thank God that we're saved. And thank God that he chose not to abandon the world. And he chose not to let Satan have the final say. God made a way of escape. We know this for those who wish to be free from the tyranny of the devil. And we know John 3:16, it says this, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son, that's Jesus, so that everyone who believes in him," that means to put their trust in him, "will not perish, but have..." Praise God. And the next verse is just phenomenal. "For God has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins." So we know, don't we, that Jesus Christ is God's rescue plan. That's a good place to say amen. We know the scriptures say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You'll be saved. You'll be rescued from the tyranny of the devil and we will belong to God." Amen. Now I'm going to get to something that's really important. Can you still go with me for a few more moments? This is really important because now there's this really strange situation going on. For you and for me, we live in a really strange situation where you belong to God and you belong to his kingdom, but at the same time, you still continue to live in this wicked old world, this dark old world, this crazy world, this world that's beyond repair. You belong to God, but you're still living here. You are a citizen of God's kingdom by faith, but this is the thing. You're not in heaven yet. Have you noticed? You're in Gosnells. It's nearly heaven, Rochelle says. Amen. Your life as a born-again Christian is kind of like you're living in a foreign country which has a different language. It's got different customs. You live and you work with people who don't follow the Lord like you do. You live in a country where God is not respected at all. And daily, you're being bombarded by values. You're being bombarded by opinions and behaviors that contradict the values of your new home, which is the kingdom of God. Plus, while it's true that you all sincerely want to follow the Lord, it's also true that sometimes you fail and do things wrong. We all do. Sometimes temptations are really tempting to you and me. Sometimes I find temptations really tempting. I'm the only one with my hand up just there. And then the thing is, isn't it, you know, then we become disturbed because we do love Jesus. We then get disturbed by our own desires that aren't always good and wholesome. Sometimes I get really disappointed with myself. Really, David? Really, you're better than that, you know? And so you find yourself as a Christian living in this tension. On the one hand, since you became a Christian, you live under the favor of God. And you are an inheritor of salvation. You enjoy the blessings of God upon your life. Absolutely you do. God is good. God's in your heart and your life. You have a living hope. You see God working in your life and your family. And God is your strength. And it's all wonderful to be a Christian on one hand. But then on the other hand, since you became a Christian, you still have issues and problems to deal with. In fact, for some of us, when we became Christians, we even ended up with more problems than we've ever had in our lives. And some days, if you would even be honest about it, some days you get up and some days you can just feel yuck for no particular reason at all. And you think, what's going on? You got pressure at work. You struggle at home. You have these niggling pains wherever, in your knees. And then you wrestle with temptation. Plus our hearts get broken over our kids or over relationships, don't they? And so, in one sense, you live your life reigning with Christ. And at the same time, you live your life like you're going through times of tribulation. You're kind of in both at the same time. You know, and dear brothers and sisters, we've got to understand this, that every devoted follower of Jesus Christ lives with that same tension that you're living with today. And that place of tension exists for you because you're living in enemy territory. We live for Jesus Christ behind enemy lines. And all of heaven and all of the believers who have passed on and gone before us, they're cheering us on today. They're cheering us on as we navigate our way through enemy territory. Truth is, it's actually Jesus Christ and his kingdom that have come from the outside of the world to invade the darkness of the world with the light of God. Jesus is the light of the world. And so as you are a child of the light, you now find yourself in heavy conflict with Satan and with his fallen angels, even if you're not aware of it. You're in conflict every day of your life. You're in constant conflict with the values of this fallen world. And the closer you draw near to God, and the Bible says draw near to God and he will... The closer you draw near to God, the more aware you become that you just simply don't fit in the world any longer. Who knows what I'm talking about? You just don't fit. Don't fit. And in your heart, the closer you get to the Lord, in your heart, then you long to depart this place and be with Jesus forever. But thank God that this cosmic conflict will not last forever. It's drawing to a close. The devil knows judgment is coming his way. The devil knows that his time is short. And God is about to step in and put an end to Satan himself. To the people of God, the Bible writes about Satan's future. It says this, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Then looking into the future, then the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, joining the beast and the false prophet. There they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And so, brothers and sisters, soon it will be goodbye, Satan. Soon it's going to be goodbye, you foul and evil spirit. His time is coming. But as for you on that day, and for all the followers of Jesus, the Bible says, you will reign forever and ever. The point is, we win, we overcome. That's our future in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God.
But in the meantime, we live in this cosmic war zone all the time where the stakes are high, really high. we're fighting for the souls of men and women. Isn't that why Jeff and Sue are in Islamabad? Jeff and Sue, they're ready to lay their lives down for the souls of men and women. Absolutely, they are. We're fighting for the souls of men and women who are trapped by the lies of the devil. We're fighting for our families. We're fighting for our community. We're pushing back the darkness. And this is our real purpose in life. You may have a job as an accountant, but really, you are a soldier of the King of Kings. You may be a barista, and if you are, I'd like to know you afterwards, amen. You may be a barista, but really, you are a soldier of the King. You may be a student at school or at university, but really, you are a soldier of the King. We're going undercover in the name of Jesus. You may be saying, well, I'm old. Well, you may be retired from work, but really, you remain a soldier of the King. With the things of God, we don't retire. We just get refired in the name of Jesus. Amen. We really are soldiers of the King. We are the best thing that's happening in the city of Perth. Amen. We're soldiers of the King. And this cosmic battle is unrelenting. The conflict is unrelenting. Sometimes people come to me and they say, oh, Pastor David, I was under real spiritual attack this week. And the enemies really had a go at me this week. And what people often mean when they say that is that they had a bad week or that things didn't work out for them. But the truth is, you are battling every single... You're under attack every day. What's the matter with you? There's never a ceasefire. The devil never goes, okay, time out. Time out, Almighty God. Time out. Let's have a ceasefire. There's never a ceasefire. This battle is unrelenting. And that's how it is for me. Every day when I get up, I know I'm going to war. Every day is a battle. Every day, you got to put on the armor of God. Every day, you got to take some time to get into God's presence and be refreshed. And I've learned that the enemy, Satan, he's evil, but he sure is smart. He's smart. He's clever. And he doesn't always send problems to wear you down. He doesn't always send problems in my life to wear me down. Sometimes he sends temptations too. Temptations that are really tempting. Sometimes he'll attack with success and prosperity in your life if he thinks that can distract me or you from turning away from following the Lord. The devil is a sly old fox. And if I could catch him, I'll put him in a box. Amen. He's a sly old fox. And the Bible says this, that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. He'll fill your life to overflowing with happy events and situations if he thought that would erode your devotion to Jesus Christ. One of the saddest things ever was a girl that was in our youth group many, many years ago. She was a daughter of a pastor. And my dad was the leader of the youth group at the time. And she said she wasn't coming to church anymore. Daughter of a pastor, been to church every day of her life. And she said basically this, my life is going so well. I don't have a single need. She was about to get married. Don't have any needs in my life. I'm financial. Everything's good. And, I don't need the Lord anymore. And she walked away from God. See, the devil's a sly fox. It's not always about problems. It's about temptations that come knocking on your door. And even to this day, she's still not walking with the Lord. That's really, really sad. But thank God that the weapons we fight the devil with are not weak. The devil doesn't have it all his own way. I'm nearly finished. The Bible says we use God's mighty weapons. And so therefore, the language of the Bible, the language of the followers of Jesus is not, hang in there, Christians. Just tough it out and you'll make it one day. The language of the Bible, the language of Christians, the language of the followers of Jesus is not, come on, let's just hold the fort and wait for the second coming of Jesus and it'll all be over. The language of the followers of Jesus is not, woe is me, the devil is against me. Rather, the language of the followers of Jesus is to go and take the promised land. The Bible says you will, in this life, you will trample upon liars and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Bible says you, we, they will cast out demons in Jesus' name. The Bible says you, me, us, they have defeated the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. The language of the Bible, the language of the kingdom of God is go and kick the devil's butt. He's not to have it his way. The language of the Bible is go and take the battle to the enemy. So in conclusion, nearly, sort of. Really, 2 minutes. Come on, everybody. Let's unleash the weapon of praises to God. We're doing a little bit of that today. Let's unleash the weapon of giving thanks to God. Stop whinging. Devil hates it when you're grateful. Let's unleash the weapon of prayer. Pray, pray. Unleash the weapon of renewing your mind with God's word. Because your mind is the battleground of the devil. Renew your mind with the word of God. Unleash the weapon of standing upon the promises of God's word. Unleash the weapon of using the mighty name of Jesus to command blessings over our families and friends. We're in a fight. So let's take the battle to the enemy and fight for our God. Let's fight for our families. Let's fight for our friends. Let's fight for our church. Let's fight for our community. Let's fight for our nation in Jesus' name. What on earth is going on? What on earth is happening? You are in a battle. That's what's happening. And you are on the winning side. So be brave, be unmovable, immovable, unmovable, and fight. And some golden day break, Jesus will come, and then all the battles will be done. But until then, while we have breath in our bodies, let's go and conquer the world with love and the life-changing message of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. Now, I want us to pray. There's power when we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. We sung about the beautiful, powerful name of Jesus. And I just know this, is that when you're in a battle, you know, sometimes you could take some hits. Christians take hits. We all take hits. Sometimes the Bible talks about those fiery darts. We need to lift up the shield of faith. We need to have the armor of God. But sometimes we slip. Sometimes we forget to lift up the shield of faith. And we take a hit. Sometimes we get wounded. We get wounded as we travel through life. So I would like us to pray. And I want to pray for restoration and healing for people today. And spirit, physical healing, absolutely. But even to go deeper than just physical healing, spiritual healing. Maybe you're carrying wounds. You know, you've been in a battle. You're a wounded soldier. You know, and God wants to restore you today to full health. He's our strength. He's our source. He's our supply. And we're going to lay hands upon people today. As we lay hands upon people in the name of Jesus, we're going to be praying for times of refreshing. You might be exhausted. You might have found the battle exhausting. Today, the Lord's going to refresh you. So as our team just lead us in worship, if you would like prayer while we worship, could we pray for you today in Jesus' name? So stand on our feet. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children, your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you will be blessed. The Lord. And this is all because of the name of Jesus, everybody. Because of what Jesus has done. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven. the Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he has given you. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people as he swore he would. Then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord and they will stand in awe of you. The Lord will give you prosperity in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. Blessings, blessing you with many children, numerous livestock and abundant crops. The Lord will send rains of blessing at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, and if you carefully walk in them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail.
Hallelujah.
And you will always be on the top and never at the bottom.
Hallelujah.
Father, we just receive that. Lord, we receive that. And Father, I just declare over my brothers and sisters a good week, a wonderful week, a breakthrough week, an answered prayer week, overcoming week, a week filled with the presence of God. And Lord, this week, wherever we go, we're just simply going to shine for Jesus. So in the name of Jesus Christ, walk under his blessings this week. Amen.
Yeah.